suddenly runny in Suda Bandar bus witnesses a ceremony welcoming the Navy's 86th flotilla back home after a mission around the world. Meanwhile, the chief of the staff of the Iranian Armed Forces tells Press TV that the flotilla accomplished its mission despite U.S. threats and pressure. People in Greece heading for polls in a general election overshadowed by a cost of living crisis and a February train disaster. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. An official ceremony has been held in the southern port city of Bandar Abbas in Iran to welcome a naval flotilla that's back home after a successful journey around the world. It was attended by top military brass, including the chief of the general staff of the armed forces. Major General Mohammad Bagheri said at the ceremony that the expedition marks the beginning of a new chapter in the growth of Iran's naval power. He added that the mission is a unique achievement for a navy subject to sanctions and other propaganda and pressure. The flotilla comprised a domestically manufactured Dena destroyer and Macron forward base ship. They entered Iranian waters on 17th of May. The flotilla completed its 63,000-kilometer journey around the world in 8 months. It marked the first time an Iranian navy group entered the Pacific. The vessel sailed to South America and visited South Africa before returning home. We're joined by our correspondent, Gisom Jamedi, a while ago, and she gave us some details about the flotilla's unique voyage. Let's take a listen.
I'm at the port city of Bandar Abbas in the south of Iran. The 86th flotilla is back from its round-the-world trip, a very specific and special experience for the Iranian Navy. Let's mention that not all navies in the world have this type of experience, touring the entire world, traveling through all the major oceans, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian Ocean, some very dangerous maritime routes that they've passed. And, of course, this is all done because of the technical development of the Iranian Navy, the fact that it has acquired state-of-the-art know-how and technology in order to be able to carry out such an important and dangerous, in many cases, mission that not all navies, as I mentioned before, would be able to take on, traveling through all the important and major canals in the world. And, of course, let's also point out to the fact that this was done because of an atmospherology software that was developed by Iranian technicians. Now, to find out more about the technical aspects and the major developments in this field, I am joined by the technical commander of the Iranian Navy, who is joining me right now to tell us more about this.
The all-Iranian Dena destroyer and the Macron forward base ship are the result of round-the-clock efforts by technical experts at the Iranian Navy and the Defense Ministry, and they managed to pass through all this long route. It is almost 60,000 kilometers they sailed across that route, and that suggests the technical progress of our youth. With the help of this software, we were able to predict what would happen in the seas, and this was one of the secrets to our success, and we knew what we were supposed to do.
Our correspondent also asked the chief of the staff of the Iranian Armed Forces, General Bagheri, about the U.S. pressure campaign against the flotilla, and this is what he had to say.
Tell us about the U.S. The U.S. had threatened countries, had asked countries not to allow the Iranian flotilla, the Iranian warships, to dock in their countries. However, we saw that despite U.S. threats, countries like Brazil did not heed the U.S. threats, and also some sanctions had been imposed on this flotilla. The 8-month voyage by this flotilla around the world showed that we can, with reliance on our own capabilities, we can be present in any place in the world, in the oceans around the world, wherever the maritime law allows us to. So we docked at 5 ports during this voyage. The U.S. tried to threaten those countries and ask them not to allow the Iranian warships to dock there, but it didn't happen. And the U.S. should accept that the leverage that it shows, that it uses in the world, those levers are losing their power, are waning, and countries are trying to remain independent, and countries want to decide about their own future. You are seeing these developments in countries in the southern part of the Persian Gulf, and our flotilla, you saw that docked in those countries. U.S. threats are, in fact, threadbare threats. They are saying that they have just kept themselves alive by making these threats. They want to create the impression that they are the masters of the world, and the U.S. wants just to create the impression that it remains a master and a world power.
The spokesman of the Iranian Minister for Foreign Affairs, Nasser Kanani, says that the mission of the Navy's 86th flotilla indicates the fact that U.S. sanctions against Iran can be shattered.
Iran, during this major mission, showed that cruel sanctions by the U.S. Can be broken, and this mission rekindled hope in the hearts of independent nations around the world, and told countries which are going to wean themselves off the dependence of major powers that through national might they can actually break the obstacles of the world hegemony. This move by Iran rekindled hope in nations, in friendly nations and countries. Also, it increased Iran's national dignity, and we thank God Almighty for that. Our brave personnel, I mean naval personnel, we congratulate them all on this, and we are confident that this move will definitely tip the balance of international equations, including in international naval arena, in Iran's favor. And the enemies should take into consideration this fact.
The commander of the Russian Navy says that only a powerful country can accomplish the mission of sailing around the world on Navy vessels.
All I can say is that only a superpower can send a flotilla on a voyage around the globe. I am very pleased to see Iran has such a naval fleet. The fact that this flotilla has circumnavigated the world indicates that these vessels were technically prepared and that its crew were well trained and experienced.
Now, at least 6 Iranian border guards have been killed in a terrorist attack southeast of the country. It took place in Saravan region of Sistan-Baluchistan province. Border guards engaged in armed clashes with terrorists trying to cross into Iran. The terrorists, however, were pushed back across the border after suffering deadly losses. Iran's Sistan-Baluchistan province shares a long border with Pakistan and has seen several terrorist attacks targeting both civilians and security forces. Israel's far-right minister Itamar Ben-Gvir has visited the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound once again, further fueling anti-Israel sentiments. The controversial move came 3 days after a politician, along with tens of thousands of Israeli extremists, marched through the occupied old city of Al-Quds, and just over a week into a fragile Gaza ceasefire. With tensions flaring in the occupied Palestinian territories, he said that Israel is in charge of Al-Quds. Meantime, Hamas announced in a statement that the Israeli regime will be responsible for the consequences of the presence of Ben-Gvir and settlers in the mosque. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, was earlier with us for the reactions to the controversial visit by the far-right Israeli minister to Al-Aqsa Mosque.
This morning, Israeli far-right minister Itamar Ben-Gvir raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, claiming that the Israeli authorities and the Israeli occupation will always be the masters of Al-Quds and the entire land of Israel, and that the complex there is owned by the Israelis. Immediately, a statement issued by the spokesman of the Palestinian Authority, Nabil Abu Dena, calling on the raid by Ben-Gvir as a flagrant attack on Al-Aqsa, and he also warned that it would have serious repercussions. He said that the raid of Ben-Gvir, describing him as an extremist minister at the early hour like thieves into the Al-Aqsa Mosque Square, will impose, will not change reality and will not impose Israeli sovereignty. The Foreign Ministry of Jordan also issued a statement condemning the raid of Ben-Gvir in the strongest terms, calling it a dangerous and unacceptable escalation. Hamas movement also issued a statement saying the Hamas movement will not leave Al-Aqsa alone, and warned that Israel will bear responsibility for the barbaric incursions of its ministers and herds of settlers.
In Greece, polling stations have opened in general elections overshadowed by a cost of living crisis. The ruling New Democracy Party, headed by Prime Minister Mitsotakis, is leading the opinion polls. The cost of living crisis and a train disaster in February have made it hard for the party to garner the needed ballots. The left-wing Syriza party, chaired by former Prime Minister Tsipras, is the main rival to the ruling party. Nearly 10 million people are eligible to vote. Meantime, changes to the electoral rules have reduced the party's chances to obtain the absolute majority. The party ranking first needs more than 45% of the electorate to secure the majority in the 300-seat parliament. The U.S. president has announced yet another military aid package for Ukraine that's worth up to $375 million. Joe Biden announced the aid in a meeting with his Ukrainian counterpart, Volodymyr Zelensky, on the sidelines of the G7 summit in Japan. Biden told Zelensky that he's doing his utmost to strengthen Ukraine's defense systems. The latest aid includes ammunition, artillery, armor, vehicles, and training. The U.S. and its Western allies have kept feeding Ukraine with massive amounts of arms since the beginning of the war last year. Moscow has repeatedly warned that military assistance would only prolong the war. The Biden administration and congressional Republicans have traded barbs over raising the federal debt ceiling. Both sides describe as too extreme one another's proposals on increasing the government's $31.4 trillion debt limit. Biden already warned that the country could slip into recession and thousands of jobs could be lost if its debt limit does not go up. The administration has also warned that the country could default on its debt payments if the issue is not settled. Democrat leaders are calling for the limit to be raised, but Republicans want spending cuts and other conditions to be agreed first. Concerns are on the rise in Afghanistan over the high level of poverty. Children are bearing the brunt of it, as Abdullah Mirzada reports from Kabul. Many kids are working to take a morsel home while facing malnutrition and exclusion from school.
UNICEF representative for Afghanistan says some 90% of the population in the country is on the brink of poverty, while children are the ones who are bearing the brunt of it. The UNICEF states some 2.3 million children in Afghanistan are expected to face malnutrition in the country, while roughly 1.6 million Afghan children, some as young as 6, are trapped in child labor, working in dangerous conditions just to help their parents put food on the table.
The children pick these waste materials and sell it to me. Instead of going to school, they work to earn a bread worth. These kids are doing this job out of necessity because some of them have sick parents and take care of them, or their parents have no job and tell the children to do this for a living. They can hardly buy bread with this earning.
Mohammad Qasem, a 12-year-old worker, says he can't go to school because he should provide provide bread for the family.
I am 12 years old. I pick these puddles under the scorching sun to sell and buy bread for the family with this money. I don't go to school because I work every day to earn some money. It has been 3 years that I have been doing this.
Experts believe decades of war and unrest in the country is to blame for the poverty, which is compelling families to send their loved ones on the streets to find a mouthful. But of course, the negative consequences aren't negligible.
Most of the problems in the society originate from poverty. It is due to this poverty that our children are working on the streets. But we should keep in mind that the child who is working on the street is a lost valuable asset without a bright future for the country.
U.S.-led war in Afghanistan has ruined the country's economy. It has also made Afghanistan weapons contaminated too. 134 children were killed or maimed while collecting scrap metal to sell from explosive devices between January and March of this year alone. While Afghanistan is struggling to resolve problems left behind from decades of war, many people here believe U.S. sanctions and the reduction of activities of international organizations have made the situation more complicated in the country. Abdullah Amirzadeh, Kabul.
And that's the end of this news broadcast from Tehran.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday. May 21st, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. And heartiest felicitations to you all on the auspicious birth anniversary of Lady Fatima Masume, peace upon her, daughter of Imam Musa Kazem, the seventh infallible era of Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him. This day is celebrated in the Islamic Republic of Iran as the Girls' Day. So, felicitations to all the girls around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Frank Thies from the Netherlands, from Juan Matias from Spain, and Harald Seuss from Austria. So Frank and Juan, and also Harald, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. You must know that these reception reports are very helpful to us at IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL or EQSL from us. And let's see who has sent us email from around the world. From Russia, we've received an email from Dmitry Ilagin. From India, we have an email from Sudhir Pandey. Per Ole Stenman from Finland has sent us an email. From Spain, we have an email from Juan Matias. And the last but not the least is an email from Romania from Rodolf Takax. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back, everyone. From Russia, we've received an email from Dmitry Ilagin. Dmitry says, "Hello from Saratov, Russia. Earlier, I sent you a reception report on Sunday, but unfortunately, I did not receive any answer, so I thought I may have sent it to the wrong email address. Please check it for me, and please verify my reception report with a QSL card. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Dmitry Ilagin from Russia. Please accept our warm appreciations to you for this email, Dmitry. So, this is an email from Saratov, Russia. Please send our greetings to your family in Saratov. And please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to your email. Dmitry Ilagin from Russia, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. We wish you all the best. And from India, we have an email from Sotir Pandey. Sotir says, I am pleased to inform you that I have listened IRIB English service. I have heard news and I am very happy that your broadcast can be heard on radio. I am 46 years old and I am a visual artist. I live and work in Bombay. I am a SW listener since 1980s and it is my favorite hobby. If you found program details correct, I would appreciate a QSL card. Wish you all the best. Salam and warm greetings to you, Sotir Pandey from India. And many thanks for writing to us and for this email. So you're 46 years old and you are a visual artist. What an attractive and totally amazing job you have. Being a visual artist is so nice. Anyway, good luck in your job and in your life. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And please accept our EQSL as verification. So after a short break, I will be back with you. From Finland, we have received an email from Per-Ole Stenman. Per-Ole says, "Dear friends, I hope this reception report reaches you. I hear this signal in Finland. I use a radio receiver and long antenna. I have enclosed a recording, MP3. I hope you can hear the recording. Can you confirm this reception as IRIB English Radio? Best wishes from a radio friend." Salam and warm greetings to you, Per-Ole Stenman from Finland, and many thanks for this great email. So please accept our EQSL as confirmation to your email. We also wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, our radio friend, Per-Ole Stenman from Finland. From Spain, we have an email from Juan Matias. Juan says, "Dear staff, I hope you find my reception report useful, and if the details are correct, I would appreciate it if you verify it with one of your QSL cards. If possible, I would also like to receive some sticker from your station." Salam and greetings to you, Juan Matias from Spain. Thank you for writing to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. Yes, please accept our EQSL as verification to your email. But regarding your request for sending you souvenirs like a sticker, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio in the time of pandemic is not possible. So please be patient. We will soon send our dear listeners the souvenirs and the materials of IRIB English Radio. For the time being, please accept our EQSL. So, Juan Matias from Spain, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. So, after a short break, I will be back with you. Let's see what Rodolf Takac from Romania has told us. "Dear friends in IRIB, at first let me introduce myself. I am a 75-year-old engineer. In my free time, I like to listen to radio. This is my hobby since 1959. 60 years of radio listening since 1959. Till now, I received QSL cards or verification letters from many radio stations. Now, I receive your radio station. If it is possible, please confirm my reception report with your QSL card, a letter, or email. I'll also attach a short record from your transmission. Waiting your answer, and I wish you many success in your work. Salam and warm greetings to you, Rodolf from Romania. Please accept our appreciations to you for this great email. Thank you for sharing your personal information with us. So you are 75 years old and you're an engineer. Wish you luck and good health. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL or electronic QSL as confirmation to your email, Rodolf from Romania. So please write us soon and tell us which program or programs from IRIB English Radio you like the best. Thank you. Dear listeners, here we come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye, I do send my sincere and warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of our listeners from around the world who have sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters, including Frank Thies from the Netherlands, Juan Matios from Spain, Harald Seuss from Austria, Dimitri Ilagin from Russia, Sotir Pandey from India, Per-Ole Stenman from Finland, also Rodolf Takax from Romania. Dear listeners, please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human vices and human traits, that having them, both vices and traits, we either doom and condemn ourselves, or we become successful in this world and in the hereafter. Among the vices that we've been looking at, you know, continuation from our previous episode, is dhulm, oppression to oneself. Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ كَانَ ظَلُومًا. He surely is super oppressive, continuously oppressive. So we need to take that into account. And we were mentioning the consequences that comes with oppression, whether to ourselves or whether to other people. We mentioned one of which is being that we will be deprived of success, لا يفلح الظالمون, and be deprived of guidance, لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. The third one that today I want to discuss with you is, it is the cause to all our problems. It is the cause to all our pains. It is the cause to all our sickness. It is the cause to our poverty. It is the cause for our kids to be either astray, they go on the wrong path, or to even, God forbid, die. It is the cause for us to lose our wealth. Sometimes it would lead to death. Sometimes it leads to punishment. All of these are causes, or actually consequences and effects of dhulm and oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that
that says this to us in chapter At-Tur, verse 47. Allah says, وَإِنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, surely, indeed, for those who are oppressive, عَذَابًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, surely we have a punishment for them before the actual punishment. However, most of them do not know. Now, logically speaking, why would any human being put himself in such a situation where he brings punishment to himself? It's like I'm saying to people, you can come and lash me, lash my body, hit me. Come make me sick, give me all the viruses. Come take all my money. Come kill me. That's just ridiculously insane. That's insanity. This is the true sense of insanity. Yet we do it without realizing. That's why Allah says, لا يعلمون. They don't know what they are doing. So we have to pay attention to what kind of oppression am I doing or I could be doing to myself and to others without realizing. If my akhlaq is bad, then I'm oppressing people. If I'm not giving my body what it requires in terms of knowledge, in terms of ibadah, in terms of this and that, then I'm being oppressive. If I listen to music, I'm oppressing myself. If I eat haram, I'm oppressing myself. And so on and so forth. And Allah in return, He says, because of your own oppression, then we're going to take everything away from you. And if you look at the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says do not do, you see that each sin has a consequence. There is no sin without a consequence. If a person lies, there's a consequence that will follow, an effect. If a person cheats, there's an effect. If a person gossips, there's an effect. And all of these effects are on my expense. I will lose something in return. I would either lose something in the moral sense, in the spiritual sense, or lose something in the material sense, in the physical sense. I will lose. Let us take a short break and then we will continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we were saying that oppression to ourselves and oppression to others will lead to us causing ourselves pain in every single way, in every dimension, in every aspect of our lives. Something that me and you, we do not need to do. Also, Allah says, when a person becomes an oppressor, he will be deprived of the blessings of this life, whatever it has to offer, whatever pleasures that this life has to offer. A person might deprive himself of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very beautiful classical story in chapter Al-Kahf, in verse 35, about a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him everything he wanted. And He's giving him heavens, gardens, which bear fruits of different types, of different multitudes. But that person did not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was an oppressor. In return, Allah took everything from him. The verse goes, وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. He entered his garden while he is being oppressive to himself. قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. I don't think this will ever finish, because he's looking at the beauty of his garden and the size of his garden, the fruits of the garden. Like, this is a very solid, very strong garden. I don't think that anything's going to happen to that.
And then, not only that, he moves a step further. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. And I don't think there'll be a day of judgment. Mind you, أَظُنُّ, he's saying, I doubt. So he's not certain. And if you would pay attention, that you'll see me and you, the way we live our life, we live it exactly the same as this person. Because when we deal with people, when we deal with things around us, we deal as if this, what we have, will last forever. As if my wealth, my job, my family, everything, my house, my car would remain. This is how we believe. And also because we have so much hopes and aims in life, death never crosses our heads, never crosses our minds. Which means we're saying in another word that we don't believe that hour is going to come. Because if we truly believe that the Sa'a, day of judgment, death will come, then you would see that everybody would act differently. Everyone would do exactly what Allah wants. And we wouldn't have this mess in this world that we already have. So we, me and you, we are exactly doing the same as this guy is doing, but we don't realize it. And then he says, this man goes to say, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً. And then he says, وَلَئِنْ رُدُدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And if I go back to Allah, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. I will find better than that. So obviously, based on this, that this person's a mu'min. He's not a kafir. His action puts him in the state of doubts. His belief, he says, no, I will go to Allah. But yet he says, if I go to Allah, Allah will give me even better. So how did this person brought the two negatives in one? He brought the fact that he had denial in Allah's will and Allah's capacity to take everything from him, and yet believing that Allah will give him everything. So Allah says, no, my friend, you are zalim. And then Allah took everything from him. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Russian Finance Minister Anton Silonov has said EU's short-sighted policy is hurting the bloc more than Moscow. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay with us, please. RT noted the West is running out of options for targeting Moscow after multiple rounds of sanctions backfired instead of crippling the Russian economy as intended. Finance Minister Anton Silonov told RT recently. All these restrictions have boomeranged, he argued, noting the worsening cost of living crisis in Western countries, soaring inflation, and a decline in living standards. Silonov added, therefore, these countries are pursuing a short-sighted policy, introducing regular packages of restrictions and sanctions. According to the finance minister, Russia is pursuing an independent policy, trying to minimize the impact of the restrictions that are being introduced against it. Therefore, we are developing our financial independence in the face of a tight budget and budgetary rules targeted inflation, Russian finance minister said, noting that the Russian government is also seeking independence in terms of payment instruments. He said, when Western countries introduce new packages of restrictions, we take anti-sanction measures and we see that we are succeeding, insisting that Russian economy would reach positive growth rates this year in 2023. He also pointed to low inflation, which is lower than in Western countries, and the lowest unemployment rate, adding that real wages in Russia are growing. He said, therefore, our policy of responding to the sanctioned packages is yielding results. We see that we are headed in the right direction. According to Silanov, there is a change in global geopolitical formations where countries with developing economies are squeezing out the so-called developed nations, with the latter introducing various restrictions and sanctions, including in settlements. However, those restrictions have diminished global confidence in the US dollar and the euro, he said. Russia has also been forced to replace settlements in so-called freely convertible currencies with settlements in reliable currencies. For us, a reliable currency is the national currency and the currencies of friendly countries that have no problems in transferring money for goods and services supplied, he said. Commenting on Russia's push for de-dollarization, Silanov explained that the abandonment of the dollar and the euro is proceeding gradually. He stated, we do not set ourselves the task of giving them up tomorrow. We use them, but we are trying to switch to more reliable units of account. The finance minister noted that Russia and China are settling about 70% of their economic transactions in their national currencies and will continue to do so. According to Bloomberg, sanctions imposed on Russia are pushing the global economy closer towards a major crisis, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov recently said. The official was commenting on reports that G7 members are considering a near-total ban on exports to Russia. Peskov told journalists when asked about the potential G7 embargo, we realize that the US and nations in the EU are considering new additional sanctions, all sanctions which have been imposed on our nation and new moves which may be under consideration at the moment in Brussels and Washington will certainly hit the world economy too. He added, that can only exacerbate the trends towards a world economic crisis. Also, according to Press TV, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has admitted that economic sanctions used against countries by the U.S. put the dollar's dominance at risk. As the U.S. has continued to weaponize the dollar, countries are seeking alternatives, from creating new common currencies to using local currencies. Nations are trying to find a safe and equitable way to trade instead of being at the whims of a hegemony that can decide overnight to confiscate a country's money or cut it off from the international financial system. Russia launched its de-dollarization policy when the West slapped economic sanctions against the country. After Russia launched its special operation in eastern Ukraine in February 2022, the U.S. led a massive wave of financial sanctions against Moscow. The biggest moves were the decision by the West to freeze nearly half of Russia's foreign currency reserves and also the removal of major Russian banks from SWIFT, an interbank messaging service that facilitates international payments. The backdrop of sanctions introduced by Western regimes against Russia, a major global energy producer and exporter, prompted China to decide to ditch the dollar in international trade as well. Bank of Russia records show that the Chinese yuan has become a major player in Russian foreign trade. India, a major importer of Russian energy, has also taken several steps towards shifting away from the greenback to rubles and rupees in mutual trade with Moscow.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith. This hadith is about faith in general, and specifically it is about that which completes faith, that which leads to the perfection and completion of faith and iman. You know, faith and iman is one of the topics that has been discussed in the Quran in many places. And it's a subject which is very important. By way of example, in one verse of the Holy Quran, we read, "The Bedouins say, 'We have faith.' Say, 'You do not have faith. Rather, we have embraced Islam, for faith has not yet entered your hearts.'" Which kind of indicates the fact that faith and iman is not something related to the tongue and the attestation to the unity of God and the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, it's something else. It's something more profound and deeper. In this beautiful hadith, we look at what completes faith and what perfects it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A servant's faith in Allah is not complete until he has five attributes in him." There are five attributes, five characteristics and features which perfect a person's faith in his iman and complete it. The first is this: complete reliance upon Allah. At-tawakkul al-Allah. Tawakkul, very famous, virtue, which is very central within the totality of Islamic virtues. The next is entrusting his affairs to Allah. At-tafwizu ilallah, handing one's affairs over to Allah. You know, allowing Allah to take care of one's affairs. There's a little subtle difference between trust in Allah and entrusting one's affairs to Allah, obviously. Of course, we don't have time to, dig deep into the differences between these. The third is submission to Allah's will. Right? If Allah wills something for a servant, he should submit to it and accept it. The next is patience in Allah's tribulations. Having sabr and patience in the tribulations that God afflicts a person with. This is a part of one's faith. Then the Prophet said, "Certainly one who loves for the sake of Allah, hates for the sake of Allah, gives for the sake of Allah, and withholds for the sake of Allah has in fact completed his faith." Right? This is the completion of faith. It lies in this. Doing everything that you do for the sake of Allah. This is tied up to one's intention, the intention that one makes when one performs various tasks. This is also a way to complete and perfect one's faith. Perhaps it was keeping this hadith in mind that Imam Ali summed it up, iman, in the following way. He said, "The most perfect in faith from among you is the one with the best of character." Right? And these characteristics that the Prophet enumerated and listed, these are all characteristics which complete one's faith, and they are all parts of good character. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the thing that completes faith in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin.
وآل محمد الله